Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the action in Tesla stock today. We've also got updates on Tesla's Highland Model 3, some news on international expansion, and a few other items as well. So clearly a tough day for the stock today, down about 5.25%, closing at $210.50. The NASDAQ down just under 1% on the day, so significant underperformance from Tesla. I do have other automakers pulled up here for GM, Rivian, Lucid. As we can see, a pretty tough day for automakers in general, Tesla in the blue here, and you can see the performance on the day for others. So we do seem to have a bit of sector rotation happening as well, in addition to the broader markets being down, but clearly Tesla is still underperforming, even within that group a little bit. We can see even started off a little bit rougher, recovering throughout the day, but overall definitely a tougher day for Tesla, probably contributed to by initiation of coverage of Tesla stock. By HSBC. This is the biggest bank by assets by assets in Europe or in the UK. I would have to double check on that one, but pretty significant bank. So their analyst has today initiated coverage of Tesla with a $146 price target and a sell rating on the stock. So an initiation of coverage tends to be a little bit bigger of a deal than maybe a normal analyst note. You kind of have price target adjustments as the lowest level of updates, then you have rating adjustments as maybe the middle, and then initiation probably right alongside that, maybe a little bit more consequence from that. So it is relatively impactful, I would say, probably contributing to the drop today. We'll go through a little bit of the details of the note, but this was about a 100-page note, so again, more detailed than the average analyst note that you might see, and goes through their reasons for their price target initiation. So one of the things they wrote, they say they see considerable potential in Tesla's prospects and ideas, but think the timeline is likely to be longer than the market and valuation is reflecting, hence the reduce or sell rating. Now, interestingly, I don't have a full note, but Yahoo Finance does break down a little bit of the value, the components of the valuation, the components of their price target discounted back. So for how the price target works, they're assigning a present day value of $146 or $146 within the next year to their 2030 target or business case for Tesla. And then this breaks down how that business case comes to be. So right now they're saying that about 60% of the business or so is coming from businesses that today have sales and profit, which would be selling cars, selling energy storage, things like service. And then a big portion of their price target, as is often the case with analysts, is coming from businesses that are less fully developed and currently don't have sales or profits. So that's about 40% of what they're saying the valuation should be if you discount it back from 2030. So they assign 17% to the Dojo supercomputer, 14% to fully autonomous vehicles, 12% to Optimus humanoid robots. So it is kind of interesting when you look at their price target that it does seem to incorporate some level of valuation for fully autonomous vehicles. You would generally assume that if your model assumes that fully autonomous vehicles are something that is accomplished, usually that's something that creates a lot of value for the company, should be a very high margin, very profitable business for Tesla to be in. So having an assumption that that is something that is contributing to Tesla at that point, but is only about 14% of the valuation, doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Unfortunately, I don't have the full note. If anyone does, please pass that along so I can do a little bit deeper dive on that. But just initially kind of looking at that, it seems a little bit odd. They do say that their DCF, or the discounted cash flow valuation, is generous. Again, because they assume the businesses such as FSD, Dojo, and Optimus all become successful by the end of the decade, contributing around that 40% that we're seeing here. So again, you would kind of think that that'd be a little bit more binary, whether it works and is very profitable or doesn't work and doesn't end up contributing much. They seem to be leaning somewhere in the middle, but more towards the negative end. They also noted that they view significant risk around Elon Musk, maybe not the normal risk that is often discussed these days, but just in terms of the sort of key man or single man risk that he presents as being such a prominent member and presence of Tesla. They do say that they also have a bull case, so their bull case does go up to $280 per share, which they have a little bit more market share growth and favorable regulatory environments for things like FSD. So maybe that's part of what's constricting them. Maybe they're just saying that FSD is only going to be very, very limited in terms of what regions it's able to operate in, which could be something that I guess could be reasonable. But nevertheless, that's kind of the report today. So that likely had an influence on the stock. And then we also heard from President Biden, who spoke at a UAW event today in Illinois, saying about the contract that the UAW has just reached, or the tentative agreements with the big three, that he wants this type of contract for all auto workers. And I believe in a response to a question about whether or not he would support the UAW's efforts to unionize Tesla and Toyota workers, he said, absolutely. So, of course, a lot of headlines around that, the president supporting, you know, the quote-unquote unionization of Tesla and Toyota, although it's more the efforts to unionize rather than the unionization itself. So certainly those headlines probably not helping all that much today either. On a more positive note, more fun note, we do have updated production numbers. So these came a little bit earlier than I thought they would. As we had talked about yesterday, some of the other reports that we had gotten previously. Now these full October numbers for China are filled in. So let's jump right to production. 83,500 vehicles. This is the highest production number for Giga Shanghai since the 85,000 figure from April. So really nice to see that. And specifically for the Model 3, 28,500 vehicles produced. So that's also the highest number since April. And of course, this is after the transition to Highland, which we saw actually really, really strong results in September. Now a continuation of that and even stronger numbers here in October. And also paired with a rebound of the little bit of a dip that we saw on Model Y production in September, likely relating to some of that downtime on the Highland Model 3. So really happy to see this production number. It's even probably higher than I think many people would have guessed, especially with the wholesale sales figure being at about 72,000. Obviously, we can see that the difference between production and wholesale, which I know I'm covering the title there, but that's positive 11,000 more vehicles produced than were wholesale sold this month. So that means we should see a pretty good wholesale sales figure next month in November. Hopefully we continue to see pretty strong production here throughout the fourth quarter. Because Tesla has made this transition so incredibly quickly, that should bode well for things like margins, because they're going to be able to recapture those economies of scale that, you know, they've achieved through getting production to these levels very quickly despite this transition. So also, of course, means more revenue with more vehicles available to sell. And as the Highland has been priced higher, that is obviously going to benefit Tesla both from a revenue and a margin perspective. So really exciting to see these Highland numbers, and Tesla, you know, continues to look like they've managed this transition phenomenally from Giga Shanghai so far. Hopefully that bodes well for the replication of that in the US as well. And if we look at the export and retail or domestic sales breakdowns, you can see not many Model 3s sold in October, maybe just a few there towards the end of the month once Tesla started those Highland deliveries, but only 2,200 for October domestically. However, about 22,500 Model 3s exported, which again you can see is a high for Model 3 exports since actually last October. So, of course, big batches of Highland being shipped out to Europe, driving that number there. So overall, pretty exciting updates there for Giga Shanghai and for the transition to Highland. And then we've also got an update on a story that we have talked about previously, which was Tesla taking some steps to begin operations in Chile, as Bloomberg reports here. We had talked previously about a job posting from Tesla for a general manager position in Chile. They have added a couple more job listings, one for a technician, I believe, and one for an advisor. So Bloomberg today reporting that Tesla is actually registered for a company in Chile, the Tesla Chile SPA, according to the Chile Official Gazette back in September. So they say the unit can carry out activities such as the sale and fabrication of cars and those related to generation of energy and electricity. So, you know, Tesla's core business that we see them do. The headline from Bloomberg kind of connected to lithium, as Chile has the world's largest lithium reserves. So maybe Tesla would have some plans along those lines at some point. But right now the entity seems more created for general business and sale of Tesla's products. So I think that also fits a little bit better with the job listings that we have seen. But nevertheless, this would be a really big first step for Tesla in South America. And then we also had Elon Musk appear on the Lex Fridman podcast today. So from the timestamps, you can kind of just see, I'll just kind of scroll through them, but a lot of stuff not necessarily related to Tesla, no surprise, this being the fourth time Elon has been on Lex's podcast, but a lot of stuff about XAI and Grok. They spent some time just kind of looking at some interesting things with that. Was kind of fun to watch. Specifically to Tesla, if you do want to kind of just focus in on that, I would say that that conversation started maybe around, you know, 1 hour and 49 minute timestamp. They talk a little bit about short selling and the settlement, the SEC, things of that nature, retail investors. Not anything that most of us haven't heard before, so we don't need to spend a ton of time recapping this, but kind of that, you know, 1 hour and 49 minute timestamp and maybe 2 hours and 4 minute timestamp that kind of continue. So they did talk a little bit about, of course, since they spent some time with XAI and Grok, the convergence that seems to be kind of happening in terms of at least structural setup for FSD, as we see shifting to entirely neural networks with version 12, and large language models, and the development that, of course, we have seen there. So Lex kind of posed the question of if there's convergence happening, and Elon said that, yes, he thinks there is. He still feels confident that, or he said it still appears that Hardware 3 should be able to eventually drive vehicles in a way that is superior to humans on 50 to 100 watts of power alone. So it talked about how Hardware 4 and eventually Hardware 5 will do things better and make things a little bit easier for Tesla, but still confident in Hardware 3. And then he gave a quick update on Optimus, saying that the target for them, or kind of the target in Elon's mind, is can Optimus pick up a needle and a thread just by looking at the two items, and then thread the needle with the thread. So he said that that's maybe a year away, but they did talk previously. They had asked Grok how things that Elon had gotten wrong, and it laid out some timelines that Elon had not quite delivered on in terms of his expectations. So he brought that up again and said, as a reminder, he can be optimistic at times, no surprise to any of us. But he did note that Optimus will figure things out just by watching videos. So as opposed to sort of maybe requiring a first-person point of view for training on different scenarios, it sounds like he's optimistic that maybe that could be something that, you know, is maybe third-person. I guess you could still have first-person videos, but that was the comment there. So if you do want to check that video out or that interview out, that link for that is in the description. And then just a couple more quick Tesla things today. We did have a recall posted from NHTSA. This is for only 160 Model S and X vehicles. Basically, there is a different airbag design for steering wheel versus yoke. So some customers that had a steering wheel retrofitted, they just need to go and check and make sure that they have the correct airbag version, and they'll swap that out if not. So pretty small, but this is a physical recall for some of those vehicles. And then I did want to make a quick correction. I think yesterday a couple commenters mentioned that when I was talking about tow rating, I may have said 1,100 pounds. It's probably looking at the max tongue here. That would, of course, be 11,000 rather than 1,100, as we can see on this, if these aren't, do end up being correct. And then a local one for me here, Tesla is going to be opening up or it looks like they're going to be opening up a service center, pretty significant size one, near Chicago, or in Chicago, near the southwest corner of the Loop. And this would be roughly a 100,000 square foot facility, so very sizable possible new service center for Tesla in Chicago. Then we do have an update from Polestar. They held kind of an investor day and updated some of their targets. Not really an investor day, but talked about some of their investor targets for some of the out years. So I don't know if they've updated their longer term guidance since their IPO, but they did update that for 2025. Now they're expecting to deliver about 165,000 vehicles or so that year. That is a pretty significant decline from what they thought at IPO, which wasn't too long ago, of about 290,000 vehicles that year. So pretty significant drop there. They also lowered their expectations to the lower end of the guidance for this year. And then Volkswagen has also paused production at their Zwickau plant, producing the ID.4 and a couple of their other electric vehicles, they say due to a shortage of electric motors. So kind of the second pause that we have seen from Volkswagen on EV production in, I would say, probably within the last quarter. So interesting to see that, but of course they talk about that being supply related. And then lastly, we got a Starship or SpaceX update today. Looks like SpaceX has begun the installation of the flight termination system for the second test flight for Starship. You can see this photo of these people going out to get that set up. Usually that means it's going to be pretty close. So got to be on the lookout, you know, very closely. Not that we haven't been, but should be really, really close now to the second test flight for Starship. Could be next week. people are looking at maybe November 15th as a possible date there. But obviously things can change, but we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully full FAA approval has either already happened and just needs to be announced, or we'll see that happen very soon, because obviously you probably don't want to install what these things will potentially do until that is ready. All right, that'll wrap it up for today, though. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, November 10th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.